everyone, and welcome to the Church of God radio broadcast. This is Fred Barrows, and we thank you for joining us here today. It is our desire to lift up Jesus Christ through the precious preaching of the gospel. Today's broadcast comes to you from God's Acres here at 675 North Cedar Street in Newark, Ohio. And now we'd like to introduce to you our evangelist, Brother Larry Dishman, who has a timely message from God's Word.
I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with us, if you would, to the book of Job, chapter 31. Job 31, verse number 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? My message deals with the subject. Have you made a covenant with your eyes? He did not say, have you made a covenant with your mind? He said, with your eyes. Notice, I made a covenant with my eyes, then why should I think upon a maid? When you make a covenant with your eyes, you won't have so much trouble thinking about the right things. Job said, he made a covenant with his eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. If this was needful for Job back then, it's desperate today. Notice he did not say, I made a resolve or a commitment. He said, I made a covenant. This is a universal invitation for both men, women, boys, and girls. You might say, I'm a woman, and I don't have no trouble with my eyes. But Lot's wife was a woman. She had trouble with her eyes. She looked back. Eve was a woman. She had trouble with her eyes. She looked at the fruit. She just didn't glance. She really looked at it until a temptation formed. Did you know that D.S. Warner wrote out a covenant? He made a covenant with God. D.S. Warner said, I quote, a covenant is an agreement of two parties in which both voluntarily bind themselves to fulfill certain conditions and receive certain benefits. God is the party of the first part of the contract and has bound himself. And D.S. Warner wrote this verse, Hebrews 10:16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and in their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I quote Brother D.S. Warner. He said, Lord, thou hast been true to thy covenant, though I have been most unfaithful and now altogether unworthy to take hold of thy most gracious covenant. But knowing that thou hast bound thyself in thine own free offer to be merciful to their unrighteousness, I take courage to approach thee and would most earnestly beseech thee to fulfill thy wonderful offer to be my God. I most joyfully yield myself entirely to be thine. Therefore, this soul which thou hast made in thine own image is placed wholly in thy hands to do with it as it seemeth good. This mind shall think only for thy glory and the promotion of thy cause. Thy will, O God, the spirit within this body is now thine. Do with it as thou wilt in life and death. This body is thy temple forevermore. These hands shall work only for thee. These eyes to see thy adorable works, thy holy law. This tongue and these lips to speak only holiness unto the Lord. These ears to hear thy voice alone. These feet to walk in thy ways. And all my being is now and forever thine. D.S. Warner said, I'm signing my name to this solemn covenant. I'm aware that I bind myself to live, act, speak, think, move, sit, stand up, lie down, eat, drink, hear, see, feel, and whatsoever I do all the days and nights of my life to do all continually and exclusively to the glory of God. I must henceforth wear nothing but what honors God. I must have nothing in my possession or under my control but such as I can consistently write upon holiness unto the Lord. The place where I live must be wholly dedicated to God. Every item of goods or property that is under my control is hereby conveyed fully into thy hands to be used by him as he will, to be taken from my stewardship whenever the great owner wishes, and it is not my business at all. End of quote. I call that consecration. Now, Job didn't write out a covenant like D.S. Warner, but his covenant he made was with his eyes. He made a formal agreement with his mind never to dwell on the mental images of another woman. Job understood that the human body has urges. Making a covenant with our eyes is the number one tool for purity. The eye covenant is not a command. It's an invitation. You can't find nowhere in this Bible where the Word of God says, thou shalt make a covenant with thine eyes. However, purity is essential for the people of God.
Amen.
And if the Holy Spirit has given you and I a tool for purity, we might do well to give it serious consideration. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, the eyes will take in any information placed in front of them. Even for the Christian who has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the eyes will take in any information placed in front of them. Be careful what you look at. It's going to be a lot harder to get those pictures out of your mind than it was to get them in your mind. Now, what is so unique about Job's testimony is that he's not simply talking about rule keeping. He knows that the potential problem of sexual temptation lies in the heart of an individual. He knows that it is the heart that must be guarded from following wandering eyes. This battle with our eyes is a lifelong battle. It begins when you're very young, and then it continues till you're very old. We do not want to be like Solomon, who loved and honored God when he was in his youth, but he fell away in his old age. The love for other women stole his heart. And the Bible says in 1 Kings and the 11th chapter and verse number 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father.
Amen.
Ancient cities had walls around them. To enter into the city, you had to go through the gate. If an invader wanted to take over the city, they would always attack the most vulnerable place. And you know where that was? The gates to the city. The enemy of our soul wants access to us through the eyes. It's up to you and I to keep the eye gate closed. In many ways, our eyes function as gates of the mind, and we must be vigilant gatekeepers and avoid committing sin. Job made a promise to himself. He made a promise to God to guard his eyes around women, and his example, I believe, is worth following. I do not have to tell you that we are in a war. We are in a battle. And the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are the contrary, the one to the other. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And one of those pieces of the armor is the helmet of salvation. Has to do with the mind. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I already said it'll help you a whole lot to keep your mind stayed on him if you will make a covenant with your eyes. What is the wiles of the devil? It's the tricks of the devil, the deceitfulness of the devil, Satan's cunning devices which attempt to delude us and destroy us. They're designed to bring our souls down to perdition. The desire for a companion is one of the most powerful urges in the human body. It's like fire, the Bible says. As we cultivate a healthy respect for these desires, we must decide to channel them in the direction they were meant to go, towards building a healthy, godly relationships, and eventually consummating a special covenant made with a husband and wife. That's a man and a woman. When God made a covenant with Moses on Mount Sinai, he wrote the terms of the covenant on 2 tablets of stone. Like a lawyer drawing up a contract, God makes 2 copies, one for himself and one for Israel. So it may help us in our battle with lust to write out our covenant. Write down specifically what you're deciding to do and not to do. You see, they came to Job. His accusers did. And they begin to accuse him. And in so many words, they said, Job, you've got some bad, terrible sin in your life for all these things to come upon you. And Job starts out his defense. He says, listen, no such thing. He said, you know, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maiden? Amen. Job includes his final defense of his integrity here. He lists many positive things that he had done there in Job chapter 31. Part of living a life above reproach is avoiding lust. You know what Job says about this? He goes on down in verse number 4. He says, doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? God knows where we look. God knows what we think. Job said, we can't hide from God. Job offers the reason he would not look upon a woman in the sinful way. Job understood that God sees everything, understands everything. Job understands there's no way that any man, any woman, any boy, any girl could hide anything from God, including our sin. If we're looking at things we should not look at, God knows. Job sought to live a life accordingly. Amen. What about your computer? Come on, brethren, sisters. We all need some accountability. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of whom we have to do. You see, there's no place so remote that we can escape the eyes of God. I made a covenant with my eyes. Is your eyes instruments of righteousness or unrighteousness? Sexual purity is an important aspect of the Christian life. Romans 6, 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Every part of yourself includes the I. Romans 13, 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. When you look at the wrong thing, you're making provision for your flesh. I believe refusing to make a covenant with your eyes could be making provision for your flesh. The Bible talks about it in the book of 1 John in the second chapter and verse number 15 when it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now listen, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. But what's that mean? These three things cover all temptations. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That covers every temptation. Amen. In the scriptures, the eyes are the primary organ of perception and often the principal avenue of temptation. Why do people hesitate making a covenant with their eyes? When I felt the Holy Spirit deal with my heart, I didn't jump into this thing. I thought about this. You know why? Because a covenant has no room for failure. Vows are frightening because we can't back out of them, right? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, the fifth chapter and verse number 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasures in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Well, what if you make a covenant to God and you break it? I have no intentions of breaking my covenant with God. So I'm not going to let the fear of me breaking the covenant keep me from making a covenant with God, because I don't have no intentions. I've got a greater one on the inside than the one that's on the outside. Amen. Thank God. The benefits of making a covenant with God. Matthew 5:4, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We're going to have to be pure to see God. I not only want to see him when to get to heaven, I want to see him in this life. Amen. I want to see him in his power. I want to see him in his majesty. I want to see him in his holiness. Paul knew him, but he said in Philippians 3:10 that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Vows give power. I believe that. Amen. I believe even marriage vows give power, for better or for worse. And let's face it, we don't know if it's going to be better or worse, but we make that promise, right? For richer or for poor, till death do us part. I think them vows give power. Amen. We make a commitment. We're going to do this. And I still think we need to teach our young people this is supposed to last for life. You need to come to this altar with your mind made up. This is the one I want to live with for the rest of my life. Amen. Scripture tells us whoever commits adultery lacks wisdom and understanding. David was a great man. He was a man after God's own heart. We see this in the case of David, who saw Bathsheba. You see, David didn't have a covenant with his eyes, because possibly David couldn't help but see Bathsheba. But if he had had a covenant with his eyes, that'd been the last time he looked. He would have turned away from Bathsheba. But because he didn't have a covenant with his eyes, he kept looking, and he kept looking, and he looked back. He may have looked away for, but he kept looking back until he committed adultery in his heart, and then he literally committed adultery. David should have read and practiced Job 31 in verse number 1. You're more likely to commit adultery in your heart if you don't make a covenant with your eyes. Matthew 5:27, you have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her in his heart has committed adultery with her already in his heart. What is God's solution for the problem of lusting in your heart? God's solution is for you to look away. The problem is that you're using your eye to look at something you ought not to be looking at. The Bible says in James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to keep himself unspotted from the world. The religion that God accepts is pure and faultless. It includes keeping oneself unspotted from the world, unpolluted from the world. Part of being unpolluted and unspotted in this world would have to do with maintaining a pure thought life. A covenant with our eyes helps us resist temptation. The key to surviving temptation involves guarding our eyes with all diligence. Amen. Think of the covenant with our eyes as a good first line defense against visual temptations that you encounter. Just like you can train your body, you can train your eyes to look away. Don't take the second look. I want to be pure. I don't want to be guilty of sin. I don't want to have sin in the heart. Making eye covenant is an important part of our strategy of killing sin. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that be in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus asserts that the eye is the lamp of the body. He said, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Amen. Making a covenant with the eyes. Proverbs 17:24, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. I believe this covenant will bring you closer to God. The Bible says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Amen. I draw near him, and he draws near to me. I make him a promise, and he makes me a promise. An eye covenant will take you to a whole new level of intimacy with God. Because some of you, this has been a battle in your life, and you think you got the victory, and you go along pretty good for a little while, and then you relapse, and you say, I thought I had victory. And then you come to the altar or pray at home and you repent again. And you go along for a little while and then you relapse again. And you go along good for a while. You know what? Some people have relapsed so many times that they've given up. And they said they can't do it. But let me tell you something, friend. There's a salvation that you can have in Christ Jesus. And he not only will save you, there's a way we can live and stay saved. God has not only told us in the Word of God how we can get saved, but he's given us a plan, thank God, that we can stay saved. It will go by what the book says, amen, we can go through with victory in this life. We don't have to be up and down and in and out. God has victory for us. Amen. Are you interested in making an eye covenant? Making a covenant is a definite step. A line drawn in the sand. Making a covenant means you're writing down the words of your specific pledge. Tell God that you will look away from anything that would seduce you sexually, anything that would cause you to lust, to desire that which is not legitimate. Pledge that you will lead your thoughts elsewhere. Commit to this, knowing that God both sees and knows all we do, all we say, all we think, and He hates all sin. How about you? Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for those spiritual thoughts of admonition. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We would also like to remind you to browse through the Church of God website. It's at godsacres.org. You will find many interesting features that can be of some help to you. It's almost time again for an old-fashioned camp meeting here at the Church of God at God's Acres. Our camp meeting will start Sunday, June the 19th, and continue on through the following Sunday, which is June the 26th. Before we leave you today, friends, we invite you out to our services. For transportation, you can call that same number, 740-345-1213. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school is at 9:30. Morning worship is at 10:45. Each evening at 5 o'clock, our youth services begin. Then at 6 o'clock is our evening worship service. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for joining us here today. Hopefully this program has been a help and a blessing to each of you. Brother Decker would like to invite each of you to join us here again next week at the same time. So until then, may God bless you is our prayer.